See, we're a people also who, you know, if we're done wrong, we like the idea of revenge. You do me wrong, I'll get you. I'll get you. And somehow we honor that and think that that is a great trait. Jesus is going to show us that when it comes to our conduct and how we relate to others, there is something much, much more important than your rights. We're going to see that for the Christian, we don't base in how we respond to each other or how we respond to difficult times or unfairness in our life, that we don't respond based on what is right and what is fair. But there's a whole other law that is to govern us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." He was bound by that. That was what his motivation was. That was how he was going to relate to others. It was going to be based upon that principle. So in our text, Jesus shows us again how we should properly respond to others, especially when we've been wronged. Or not just wrong, we're going to see, dealing with difficult situations. Even if we're the ones who are wrong. To start this out with, by the first point, what we need to do is we need to know what he was talking about with the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So we need to develop that so we can see where Christ is going with it. What we're probably going to get through today is this. What I want to get through today's portion of this is probably just that first verse right there is what we're going to get through. And then next week, we're going to finish it up. You know, when it's such an often misunderstood portion of Scripture, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So we need to see what it was really talking about and what the Pharisees, how they twisted it. Remember, with each of these, what Christ has been doing, he's giving something from the law, but the Pharisees have taken it and they have misused it, just like they did with the entire law. That was the background of this when he finished talking about we are to be salt and light. When it comes to this section of Scripture here, I've heard many of those who like to claim there's almost like it's two different gods in the Bible, one of the Old Testament, one of the New Testament. And one of the proof texts they like to throw at us is this one right here. They say the God of the Old Testament was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, completely misunderstanding what is meant by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they say now Christ of the New Testament, he does away with that. He does not, and we're going to see that. He does away with what the Pharisees were teaching about it, absolutely. We're going to see exactly what he meant as he goes through those verses, really through the rest of the chapter for that matter. But again, it's often misunderstood, this section of verses. As we're going to see, the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, is really out of mercy. We're going to see it's something that every society needs. Every culture needs. Every person should want this law in their law books. It is a law that protects the weak from the strong. It prevents evil from taking over a culture. First, let's go to the law in the Bible. Let's see the law and how it was given to be used. Let's go to the book of Exodus. It's three times as it brought up in the Bible. We're going to look at each one of those. I'm going to read. I'll read through each portions where they're at in Scripture, and then I'll talk about it from there. But I want you to see the three times it is brought up in Scripture. The setting and the context is very important. Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to start in verse 22. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22. Notwithstanding, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished. Wow, boy, could our society follow this one right here, could they not? According as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge determined. I am not going to speak against abortion, but make no mistake about it. It absolutely is murder. That is absolutely a life. Verse 23, "And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Let's go now over to Leviticus. Here's the next time we see it mentioned in Scripture. It's going to be the book of Leviticus, chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 19 and 20. And if a man calls a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. The last time is Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Starting there in verse 18. Deuteronomy 19, starting in verse 18. And the judges, it's key, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and he hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And then I shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So what we see here is the law of eye for eye as it is presented in Scripture. It is actually one of the oldest laws in the world. We find this in other documents apart from the Old Testament. It is key, as we see, the section in Deuteronomy really stresses why any culture is going to need this law, to be able to put evil away from among you. It is dangerous if this law is not present. This law was given to ensure, and now get this is important. The law was given to ensure the punishment fit the crime. All right? The law was given to make sure punishment fit the crime. In the Bible, it wasn't necessarily that they took literally an eye for an eye. It was a principle that was established, even as we see it developed in the Old Testament, that the punishment, whatever it was, the point was eye for eye, tooth for tooth, that when a crime is committed, it needs to be punished, but the punishment needs to fit the crime. This law, this is key, this law did not allow for personal revenge. It did not. In the setting it is given in Scripture, it is in a judicial format, in a civil format. It was not open season for an individual, even if he had been wrong, to take personal vengeance. It was to be settled in a court of law. And those judges would make diligent inquisition. And if a crime had been committed, they were bound by the Word of God that when sentence was given, the punishment had to fit the crime. That's why it was given. These were to be matters handled by the courts, civilly, not personally. Notice it also said the court was to have no pity. There's two ways this is protecting the culture. You see, they can go to an extreme, we're going to talk about that in a minute, of going too far with the punishment. Or a danger was pity. Now, for us, we're going to see us individually, we're going to need pity. We're going to need mercy with us. But in a judicial system, that's not a place for it. As the Lord instructed judicially here, not personally. This is the court system of Israel being established. He said, listen, and thou shalt show no pity. If you have within a culture where crime can run rampant and they can even go before judges, but there's no consequences for those crimes, what would happen to that culture? Anarchy would break out. What's going to happen to me? So a system was put in place that, listen, the Lord knows we're sinners. Crime is going to take place. So we have to figure out how do we respond as a society and as a culture. And one of the fundamental laws to that was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, where the punishment needs to fit the crime. But make no mistake about it, throughout the Scriptures, it does not allow for personal vengeance. It does not allow for that. This is really a law that provided for mercy. For instance, this is important. When we are wronged as individuals, we almost always seek retribution greater than what was inflicted on us. Almost every time. When we are wronged and we're going to show somebody, almost every time the retribution that we are seeking is greater than the wrong that was done to us. Let me give you some examples in our modern day society of our civility. Road rage. Somebody comes up and cuts somebody off. They don't know if it's accident. They don't know if they just spilled coffee on them, whatever it was, but they get cut off. Man, I'll show you. Beeping their horn. They're laying there following them for miles. You know, nice different hand gestures and everything taking place. They don't care if it's a woman in there, if it's an old lady in there. It's a man, I'm going to follow you. I mean, even if they get to a stoplight, they're going to get out. They're going to start yelling back and forth. Why? Well, he cut me off. I was enjoying the view of the undercar, and he took that view from me. The retribution does not fit the crime. It even goes to the extent today that we have people pulling out guns and shooting others over road rage. Because you got to understand, our heart, as the Bible describes it, is desperately wicked. We need laws in place or we're in trouble. I mean, think about it in family situations. Even how many times how disputes come between a husband and wife. It starts off small and it explodes. What usually leads to that explosion? What was it that fired it? It's usually some form of retribution that exceeded the crime. Exceeded the wrong that was done. I'll show you. You're not going to do this to me again. The law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, was to protect from that. Punishment needs to fit the crime. When I was in PNG, revenge was a major issue. It's called Pastum Balam Beckenbach. It was part of the culture. I was there just a couple of years, and I led this lady to the Lord. She was pregnant. She was almost full term when she made a decision for Christ. And I would say she was probably at least 8 months pregnant. You know, it's pretty clear when they're 8 months pregnant. Pretty obvious at that time. And anyhow, she made a decision for Christ. It was great. It was the next day or 2 days later, she went for a follow-up at her aid station with her pregnancy. And she was notified the baby had died. And I was certainly concerned at how this would be viewed in the culture that is very, spiritism still dominates. They're superstitious. And like she just made, and this is when work in Kudu Kudu was just getting started. This is probably the third or fourth person who made a decision for Christ at that work. I mean, we're tiny at this time. And I'm thinking, how's this going to be viewed in the village? So anyhow, she ended up going through more struggles and trials. They couldn't induce labor. She's sitting there. She knows her baby is dead. She's not going into labor. This can also kill her now, by the way. And the Lord really protected her life. It was some weeks later when finally she was able to get to Cavian and induce labor, and she had delivered the child. And she had showed up at my house one night. It was late. It was about 9:30. I was just recovering from malaria, still feeling bad from it, but the bulk of it, the pain was over and things like that. It was just no strength and just feeling a little sick at the time. And I heard somebody yelling outside. It's dark. I was about 9:30. And she's standing there, and she has her dead baby in her arms. She's holding it. And went out to talk with her, and she needed a ride out to the village. And so I get in the car, and you can have the stench actually from the baby. And I was already queasy from vomiting over from malaria. And so we head down. I get her back and dropped her off. I probably got to the village about midnight, and I was coming back. I was coming back, and I came up over a hill in the village of Soho. And as I come up over the hill, there were guys in the bush waiting for me. They saw the missionary go, and they knew I'd be coming back probably. And so my truck got stoned that night as I drove through. got pelted with stones. And so I just, you know, I just floored it and got out of there. Well, the next morning, I was with the men at the work in Sohon, and they saw what had happened, and they were ready for vengeance. And I literally had to stop them, say, no, we're doing nothing, nothing. Because one thing I knew, that their retribution would far exceed the crime that had taken place because of the wickedness of the human heart. This law, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, what it limits, again, is the evil of the human heart. Whereas many people look at this law as it's void of mercy, the opposite is true. Now, the problem in Christ's day was this. The Pharisees were using this law to allow for personal revenge. He was taken out of the court system and given to the individuals. We're going to notice when we get into this next week even more that he's going to give individual cases and how we are to respond. But the Pharisees were taking this and they were using this to take personal revenge. And that wasn't right. That's not how a person should respond individually, and that's certainly not how a Christian should respond. Justice can get perverted when it's on a personal level and turned into vengeance. This is why the Bible stresses, vengeance belongs unto the Lord. Well, you see, when somebody does you wrong, we do have recourse. We are to respond, as we're going to see today and next week, exactly as Christ would have us. But you say, but that's not fair. And we're not bound by what's fair as Christians. We are bound by our faith. If somebody does me wrong, I know this. There's two things that the Lord has in place that I can trust. One is the Lord. Vengeance belongs unto Him. I will trust Him with that, and I'll respond by the conduct that He governs me by. I also have the court system as well. I also have the court system. If somebody was to come in and do my family harm, let me try and give you a tough scenario here. And again, this will become more clear. Now, you need to be here next week as well to tie all this together. If I was to preach all this, I'm just afraid we'd be here for another hour right now, and I don't want to do that. Let me give you a very difficult scenario, all right? But it certainly could happen to anybody today. Greg, let's say you're out and your family is home. You come home and you see a man running out of your house, and you know he was up to no good, and you tackle him and you bind him. You get into your house and you find he has violated your family. You know what our inclination to do to that man would be? Get that gun out and handle it. But there's a judicial system for that, isn't there? We're not talking in the middle of it. We're not talking self-defense now. We're talking he didn't know what... Are you following me? If somebody breaks in your house to harm your family, there's nothing wrong with self-defense and defending your family. Absolutely not. You understand the difference that I am making there. But there's a judicial system in how we respond when we are wrong. And we're going to see that with this. Vengeance belongs unto the Lord. Without restraint, we are bent towards evil. Now Christ comes in, he says, you have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And then he gives the premise down in the next few words. But I say unto you, and here's those few words, that you resist not evil. Now this is not talking about sin in the sense. It's not talking about that. And he's going to be very clear. He's going to give context much lighter than mine, what I gave, is what he's going to give and how we are to respond in dealing with others when we have been wronged or not treated fairly. He's not saying that, you know, when evil comes up is in regard to sin. Remember, many times in Scripture, the word evil is not referring to sin and wickedness. You know, for instance, we have in Isaiah where it says, I create evil, speaking of the Lord. That's not referring to sin, as hyper-Calvinists like to take that verse. Evil, many times, is a connotation of just something bad that's happening in your life. If a tree was to fall on your car all of a sudden and smash it, that would be referred to as an evil event, not a sinful event. So the context here isn't dealing with something sin and wickedness. It's dealing with things that are just going wrong for you. And he's going to give specific, he's going to give four different specific things of what he's talking about here. You know, if you're, you know, somebody smites you on the face, we're going to look at that. We're going to see if somebody's suing you, we're going to look at that. We're going to see if somebody compels you to go the mile and him that asketh of thee. We're going to look, and he's dealing with certain cultural things that were taking place and showing them how we are to respond as Christians. It demonstrates, again, when we've been wronged, how we need to go through it instead of out of it. And this is certainly going to go against how our flesh wants to respond, of how we are taught, and how we're taught to respond in these situations. We are always taught, it seems, to put self first. That you look out for number one. But you see, we're bound by a whole other law, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have been taught to seek our own rights. I mean, the reality is, again, as I've already mentioned, the spirit of our nation today is all about rights. I mean, look at our advertising even. I mean, listen to the radio and the advertising. It's about what you deserve in life, isn't it? You deserve this vacation, so please come spend your money here. You deserve this toothbrush. This is the toothbrush that you deserve. You know, everything's geared towards it. That's how we're taught we are taught to look out for things that are just fairness, what we deserve, and look out for our rights. And it really, those different things that a lot of times do feed our flesh in different ways, from pride, self. But Christ mentioned the words here, we are to resist not evil. Again, this is given in response to the Pharisees who are allowing for personal vengeance. He's going to take actually the principle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and bring it to a whole nother level. This is what he's getting ready to do. He's going to say how not only should we not seek personal revenge, but to go the entire other direction with it. He's not removing this out of the judicial system. Absolutely not. Nor from a judgment to come. And I'm going to give this illustration next week when I specifically talk about this happening to Christ. Do you remember Christ is on the cross and they are nailing him to the cross? What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's dealing with that on a personal level of that day. Do you know those men will still face judgment of God? They won't change court. Do you understand? It's not going to change that. And he knew that. It's not going to change the judgment to come. The phrase, resist not evil, according to one commentator, Barnes, I like how he put it. He says, I'm going to quote him a little. It says, we are not to set ourselves against an evil person who injures us. Again, this has the idea of us not seeking our rights or revenge, but going the way of forgiveness and self-denial. See, we're going to see here there's something much more important than our own rights in life. There's something much more than us concerned with what happens in our life. Well, was that fair? Why are they doing that to me? And of course, the event might not be fair. You might be right. But again, what we're going to see is faith is more important than your rights. If you're going to be light and salt, we are bound by a different code. Your faith is more important than your rights. Your faith is more important than your feelings. Your testimony is more important than your rights. Showing humility for the sake of being a light is more important than showing you are right. People are more important than things. See, we ought to respond based on the idea of the of an injustice that was done to us, and we want to try and respond accordingly to try and make this right. And there could be times when that's perfectly acceptable. But remember, it's never on the personal level. What the Lord gives us is guidelines in how we respond personally. He's going to give us four different scenarios here with what He's talking about to elaborate on this, to be clear. And how the person as an individual should respond when they've been wrong or just going through difficult situations. We're going to see one of them deals with the person is wrong, the guy who's being taken to court. You see, because too often, you'll be in a situation, somebody will ask something of you to do this, but you've made it clear that this is just not how this can work. Or again, you've been offended, you've been wronged, and we want to, listen, this is not right, I don't have to do this. But maybe you're in a situation where the Lord wants to use your faith to show that you are governed by a whole other law, that what's more important to you is not simply your rights, but your walk with God. And that's a powerful testimony. I think of Christ's words when He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And as one of those Roman soldiers was witnessing all the events as they unfolded, he realized who that man was. He realized who he was. And there are times that we do go through difficult situations. But if we tend to act with vengeance and worry about our rights, your ability to be the light that you should be is greatly diminished. Again, and he's dealing with personal conduct with others. It's not, well, should I just let it go? No, we have different things in place. We have things, we have a judicial system that's in place. We have, you know, if somebody was to come in and hurt my family, that man absolutely needs to be arrested. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that needs to be instituted, but not at my personal level. And we're going to see, as Christ goes through that right there, how we are to respond to others. What the conduct of a Christian should be when going through situations where they've been wronged, or it's just a difficult, difficult time right there. A difficult time that they're going through. Where we see the law coming into play, as the Apostle Paul put it, the love of Christ constraineth us. These are the things that are guide us. See, this is getting down to the whole thing of the sermon. He's almost putting all this together and how this is going to work. He's showing a practical application now of the very point he's going at. The Lord needs to have your heart. Listen, if your life is about yourself, you're going to put yourself first. But if it's about the Lord and you allow Him to guide you, to allow Him to supply you with the wisdom is needed in any given situation, and trusting Him, there's going to be, and again, we're going to get into this, I don't have time today, we're going to get into this next week, where He's going to give four different examples of what He's talking about. He's going to get into the fellow who was smitten on his face, and that's dealing with a cultural thing right there. So we need to understand what He's talking about there, so that we know how to respond. That's dealing, we're going to see, with dignity and respect when that's been injured in your life, and how we should respond to it. Then we're going to see next, when he deals with, your comfort or your security, dealing with the man who's being sued for his coat, and the Lord says, give him your cloak also. And then with the idea of being compelled to go a mile and to go two, that was also dealing with a cultural problem of their day right there, and how they were to respond to it. And you're going to see in each one of those, if they respond the way the Lord was directing in this manner, how powerful their testimony would have been. Because I assure you, with the situations he was given, there's nobody in that day that was responding like that. And in order for us to respond like that, our flesh cannot be in control. There's just no way. It's not in us. I mean, let's face it. I mean, somebody does us wrong. I mean, usually it takes of about 0.8 of a second till the anger has reached your brain and you're ready to go. That's who we are. But the Lord certainly gives us what we need if we will trust Him. And it can be a very powerful testimony before others, where you are being the salt and
the light.
Where they see that you are bound by another law, that it's not just something that's superficial on the outside that is self-serving. But you've come to the realization that you are, in fact, a servant of the Lord. And when you're a servant, do you know what you give up as a servant? Your rights. You give up your rights. And as I'm going to finish with this now. As we get into this next week, we're going to see the key to this is going to be dying to self. You need to be here next week. I hate dividing these things up, but I can't finish it. But you need to be here next week for more of the application. We're going to see the key is dying to self. If self is dead, guess what you're not worried about? You're right. You're right. It is so key to this. So please, next week, come back for this. So today, I hope you saw this in the importance of how we respond to others. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is in no way giving you permission for personal vengeance. What Christ is now doing, he's saying, listen, he's given us another law to govern us. He's saying, listen, there's another way we are to respond as Christians. There are things in place that will take care of it. We are to trust the Lord and respond as he would have us. And it's against the way we are taught not to resist resist not against evil. We are taught, no, you fight that thing. Again, it's not dealing with sin. Please understand that. If we're wrong, we're going after you. And the Lord can take care of that. There's things in place, even here in the United States of America, where things can take its course, and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth can take place in a way that it should. But on a personal level, how we respond, we're going to see the key is going to be self-denial for the love of Christ constraining us that we do respond with a spirit of forgiveness. Spirit of forgiveness and saying, yes. With every head bowed,